Good morning. We're reading from Matthew chapter 6. We're starting at verse 5. And if you're using the Pew Bibles that are available from the stewards, we're on page 970. Now, this particular piece comes in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, once heard this described as a manifesto. But we know what happens to manifestos, normally. They get folded up into a small square and used to prop up that chair in the corner that's all they're worth, normally. But on this occasion, I'm sure if you have studied your scripture, you'll know that big time, everything was delivered. But it's not simply a manifesto. It's a sermon. So that means we have to do something too. So it's appropriate to start with the word "and." And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. May we learn more of this passage as David comes to speak to us.
Thanks, John. Good to welcome Mary and Mark Hyder-Smith with us. If you haven't had opportunity already, for those of you who know them, do at the end of the service. I know they'd love to say hello, but if you don't know who they are, they were part of our church and are now in sunnier climates over in Corfu, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you doubt yourself, don't you? But great to have you with us. They're over here for a couple of weeks. Before I begin opening up our next sermon on this series, I do want to highlight again that we have the turning coming up at the end of this week. And if you aren't on email or anything else and you want to know a little bit more about the dates and things, the turning, if you're unfamiliar with it, is a week of mission as a church when we go out on the streets and we bring the gospel to people, and that we do some training, we have a script, but it's not just really sharing faith as we learnt last year. It's also being there in the moment. Amazing testimonies, standing alongside people who've been bereaved, praying for healing for people, and obviously we had that fantastic occasion of the girl from Nigeria who was praying in that moment, saying, you know, she just not long arrived, didn't know anything, was crying out to the Lord and just saying, I'm just so lost, what's going on? And some people came walking down the street moments later and just said, are you okay? And from there we were able to help her be housed, and her family's moved here, and a real amazing lesson. And we talk about divine appointments and God bringing things and lining things up when you're out there You'll see that more and more happen. And so there's some a timetable of different things that are going on that are on the piano. And if you're interested in discipling someone, when we meet people on the streets and they make a commitment to Jesus, it's really good to be able to partner them with someone who can meet them for a coffee. We've got training material, but if you're interested in that, speak with me or sign up again if you've done that from last year. Let's just bow our heads and pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we pray that our hearts, our minds, our ears would be open. Lord, with all that we are, with all that's going on in our lives, may it be filtered through, Lord, the power of your word, the power of your spirit. May we see our circumstances, our lives, in light of your goodness, in light of where you're leading us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, probably about 5 or 6 years old, and as a family, we were off to Tunisia. And it was during my birthday, and I was really looking forward to it because I was a Thundercats fan. And if you weren't a child of the 80s, Thundercats, this is Lion-O, the main character there, the leader of the Thundercat group. And I knew that when I was going to open up my present that I was going to get a Lion-O. In fact, I remember I got two. I mean, come on. That was a great birthday. But as I unwrapped all the presents and I looked at this packaging of this amazing figure that at last I got my hands on, and as you've sort of been told, because you can't really read too much at that age, you know, it lights up, he roars, he moves his arm, you're like, amazing, this is fantastic. And then you open up the packet and then you look at it, and that little orange thing on the side requires something that actually makes everything else work, because it says those three soul-destroying words in the moment, batteries not included. The parenting fail, as sometimes people say it. But you know, sometimes I think when we approach prayer and we come to the idea and the challenge of prayer, sometimes we hold it like we have that experience of opening up a toy. We see the packaging, we see all the promises, we see everything around it, and we think, wow, this is going to be fantastic, it's amazing, this is going to be life-changing. But somewhere, something along the line, batteries don't seem to be included. There's something that's missing, that in our challenges and our frustrations, that prayer just doesn't seem to work in the way that everyone seems to be talking about or promising about, or when I read scripture, that connection is just not there. And what I want to do this morning is look at Jesus' words about how we can have a passionate prayer life, about how we can be switched on, and people who are, as it were, have batteries included. To know that when we pray that there is a fire in us, there is a passion coming through us. Because what Jesus does here helps us to come through those frustrations and to understand prayer as he intended. And so what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to look at how not to pray. Because Jesus very clearly lays out two models of this is how you definitely don't approach Christian prayer. We're going to use one of those models to contrast with, and the other one is in your notes for your study groups and personal study. And then secondly, we're going to look at this model of prayer. What is it that Jesus gives us to have a passionate prayer life? Well, how not to pray? Well, Jesus begins straight away, and he gives us this idea of someone who is praying. And he begins to contrast two things, and we're going to pick up on this first one in verses 5 to 6. And it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, we know from Jesus' teaching and from his whole ministry and the Sermon on the Mount that the hypocrites are the religious leaders. Jesus hated religion. He was against religion and what it stood for and what it fostered in our spiritual life. And here he's building a picture of someone who is a religious leader, someone who I guess would be similar in my position, leading a community to know more about God, to learn about God. And this person is saying their prayer life is they're standing in front of the synagogues and they're praying out loud, which we can get a good idea of. But secondly, what's happening is they're going to the street corners and they're praying out loud again for everyone to see. Now, I think sometimes we think that's a bit fanatical. You know, there's someone who's probably standing on the edge of, you know, Dave is on the edge of Buckhurst Road, and he's praying, "Our Father, our art in heaven, hallowed be your name," for everyone to hear. But what Jesus is building the picture of, and what people would have understood, is on the street corner meant a bit like going down to Town Hall Square. Because in the olden days, you know, it wasn't like Bexhill, believe it or not. Where the roads and the street corners were was where everything would converge. And so it would be like Town Hall Square, where you would have the civic council, you would have the elders. And so what it's talking about and painting a picture of is that it's like a civic town hall meeting. Here on the street corner where the travellers came, where the elders were, where everyone was sort of looking out for things and talking about the current affairs, in that place, a religious leader comes and is invited in to pray. And so there they are praying at this big event almost, this sort of key time. They're praying for all these different things going on. And what's happening is Jesus is portraying someone who is on show. Because we know that. He says, listen, you'll receive your reward in full because everything is on the outside. I'm just doing this to be seen by others. And he contrasts that when he says, you, as in you Christians, don't be like this. Don't be people who are just on the outside praying for show to feel like you're just getting the praise of other people. Be people who privately pray with God, who pray, who have an intimate, passionate relationship with God on the inside. Be someone who knows Jesus. Be someone who meets with your Father in secret. Therefore, you're not worrying about getting praise from other people. It's just between you and God. And while we look at this passage and we think, well, you know, I don't really stand. Well, some of us stand up in prayer and pray in church. Not many of us, I can imagine, go to civic town hall meetings and lead prayers. But you know, it is a challenge about being a hypocrite, isn't it, in our prayer life? When I think of this, I think about our modern day technology and the fact that we're on WhatsApp and we're on text message and we're on Facebook and everything else. And it's so easy these days, isn't it, to someone post something on Facebook and all you've got to do is say, yeah, I'm praying for you. You don't even have to talk to them. You don't even have to say any words. Amy, next slide, please. You can just send a love heart with a prayer. And you know what? You can never actually pray for that person or that situation in secret. Isn't that just the same as standing in front of the synagogue and looking at the praise for everyone else to say, well, look at me, I'm praying for you. Are you really? Or are you just clicking on an icon and sending out so other people can see and look that you care? But I haven't just read your post because I'm a secret voyeur. You know, it's the whole thing with social media, isn't it? I can spy on someone's life. But these days, you can see if other people are looking at you. And so I have to respond and look that way. What's happening in the whole environment of what Jesus is talking about with someone who prays for themselves, in effect, to look good and to feel good, is that they're trying to foster a sense of belonging, that I fit in, that I have a place here. And we can do that in our home groups or in our own Christian circles. It doesn't have to be emojis or text messages. It can be, you know, if I pray the right prayer, then I can get this sense of affirmation that, you know what it's like in a prayer meeting? Or if you're praying together in a small group and everyone's like, or a real amen at the end. And it feels good, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, there's a real agree. Someone's really listened to my prayer and agreed with me. But sometimes if we have a prayer life that is all about trying to sort of please and think about other people and getting that sense of affirmation, then we're leading a double life. We just want to fit in. We just want to be part of this home group. And if I pray these words, that then it sounds good. I feel good and I fit in. And Jesus is saying, listen, don't build a prayer life like that. That's not what prayer is about. It's not about just making a show of things, getting your praise of others. That's all you get is emptiness. The reward you get is just the amens. That, oh yeah, that's good. That's it. That's all that prayer life will foster and succeed in, is just that reward. There's always a telltale sign if your prayer life is dominated by the outward signs. Because one of the key factors is there's no passion. when your prayer is always focused on outside things and looking good, on standing up there and trying to sound good in front of people, when it comes to the real aspects of prayer, there's no passion. In fact, sometimes prayer is boring. To go into a private room and to pray by yourself is like, I don't want to do that. One of the obvious signs is that there's no private prayer life at all. There's no conversation with God. And Jesus says, no, don't, that's not a model of prayer. That's not what I'm calling you to. But how do you build a passionate prayer life? If that's not the model, then what is it that Jesus this morning calls us to rescue us from that sense of emptiness and that outward reward and that frustration of when things don't happen, when we pray and we do seek God? What is it this morning through this model of prayer that leads us into a passion-filled prayer life? A lot of it is about where you start. You notice where Jesus starts this morning. He doesn't start, give us our bread, give us our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses. He doesn't start halfway down the prayer. And I think most people, a number of people, when you talk to them and they say, well, my prayer life, it's just not working. And my question in the back of my mind I want to ask is, where are you starting? Because if you're always starting at the place of, Lord, give me what I need, you know, forgive me for my sin, they're good prayers, they're okay. But how does that foster a sense of passion? Where's the love? Because all you'll get is you'll get frustrated. You know, I'm praying for these things. I'm praying for my sin to be removed. I'm praying for this. And it's not happening so quickly. And is this prayer really working? Are the batteries really included? What does Jesus do right from the beginning? Jesus starts, our Father. My Father. Straight away, what it does is it goes to that place where what is it that fosters the love? It's the relationship that I'm in with my Heavenly Father. Our Father, my Father, it's the Daddy Father. It's the place where you come and you know that you're intimate with God. And how do you get there? How do you get to that place of intimacy? Not just God up there with a flowing gown and a big sort of beard and everything else and all those wrong images that were painted by Michelangelo. But the image of the Father's heart, the love for you that came in the person of Jesus Christ to get you to that place, that came and took your guilt and your sin and your shame so that you could come and say, my Father. The place that you start is the place of belonging, that place of sense of, I am a child. I have every single right to be here because I am adopted into this family. I am a child. I can say my Father. And because you can say my Father, and because you know what Christ has done, because you have this position that you are put in, then you can say, hallowed be your name. Amazing. Amazing, Lord, that I can be here. Amazing that you're my Father. Amazing that you love me as you do. Amazing, even when I wander and all the rest of it, you still call me your child. That's where love gets fostered. That's where passion grows. When you sit there and say, my Father, when you come into a place of adoration first. When you adore the Father for who he is and what he's done for you. When you adore the sense of wonder and worship and the praise that flows, the thanksgiving. When the heart rises, that's where the Spirit comes and meets you in the passion. And when you're filled with passion and when you know that the Father's love is meeting with you, isn't it amazing how many things go into perspective later? Isn't it amazing how much prayer is more switched on, that I'm not so focused about my needs too much? Yeah, we've got needs, it's fine. God's a good God. We know Jesus speaks later and says, you know, well, if your earthly fathers know how to good gifts, then how much more your heavenly Father? Jesus, in this pattern of prayer, in this model that he calls us to, says, listen, I want you to come in a fixed position that you know who you are. You know your place. And from that place, it stirs an inner world of passion, that you know that this is where my sin and everything else has been removed, so that I can know the love of God, that I can respond in love, that love begins to grow and begins to sort of stir up and well up within us. And that's the starting place. That's the thing that puts the batteries in. Some words on the screen just for us to focus on. Listen, when you come with the I love you instead of my kingdom come, my will be done, prayer becomes passionate. Prayer becomes something that is powerful, because when you come in that place of adoration and acknowledgement of our Father, you're not so focused on what you want, but actually what has already been given and done for you. You come from a place of receiving, not actually, Lord, this is what I want. When you come in that place, frustration isn't an issue, because Jesus has promised and has given himself, has given God to you, so that you know you meet with him. There's not a 20-step program. There's not like, well, I need this, I need that, and we're having to wait and so in faith. You are there in a love relationship right in that moment. There's a song that I'm listening to, and it says, whether in the high of the mountaintops or in the valleys, wherever my feet are is the summit. In other words, wherever I am in the presence of God, if I'm in the lowest places or in the highest places, where my feet are with you is where the summit of everything is. When you understand that that is the summit, that you are there, then everything stirs and cascades around that. Then you begin to feel the power and the love and the sense of the Spirit stirring within you. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Like with all things spiritual, you sow into it. And everything begins to light up. But there's another factor that Jesus builds in having a passionate prayer life. I wonder if you picked it up in verse 5. One single word that's linked with everything else, and that's probably a giveaway statement. What did Jesus say in verse 5? He says, and when you pray. And in the English language, and in the Greek, is an adjoining word. It joins on to the next thing, doesn't it? Or whatever the previous thing was. So what was Jesus talking about in chapter 6 before prayer came along? Because something here flows into prayer here. And the thing that Jesus was talking about was giving. He said, listen, giving to the needy, when you give, this is how you should do it. And then as he's talking about giving, and he says, by the way, you know, as you're giving, and when you pray as well. And so what happens is the active Christian life flows in with the spiritual life. The two aren't separate. You know, the Christian spiritual life isn't like, oh, I've achieved inner peace. I'm enlightened. I'm there. I've arrived. Everything is well within my soul. That's not it. That might be an effect of it, but that's not what the Christian life is about. The spiritual life is one that is active and moving in places that interact with other people, that bring healing, that bring that love of God into different situations, that give to people in a wholehearted way, with love overflowing, that give and that can forgive other people, that walks into relationships. And because you've been filled with the love of God, because we've sat there and said, Our Father, what it does is it releases that sense of being able to breathe. When Jesus is talking and saying, listen, if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. What he means is it's like blowing up a balloon. And if I hold the balloon and I'm holding it tight and I don't let go of my unforgiveness, then what else can go in? When we're in a love relationship with God and you realize how much you're forgiven, you begin to forgive, and what it does, it lets it out. And then something else, the love of God begins to fill in, and then you can breathe, then forgiveness can truly flow. And that's because prayer is an active thing. It compels us, it moves us, it changes the way we see people, the way we interact with situations. Now, God bless these guys that go off to Uganda. But I bet, without putting them on the spot, I bet they pray. Not just in that one instance of Lord help me, I bet they pray. Because there's something that flows. You can't have an active Christian life without being in communion with God. Let me be clear and close on this morning, because we live in a technique age, don't we? You go onto YouTube and you can learn all the different techniques of exercise. You can learn all the different spiritual techniques that are out there when it comes to personal well-being. And I don't want to get caught up in it. We love formulas as human beings, don't we? This plus this equals that, and we box it off and tick done. But I want to be really clear about what a relationship with God is, because it's not about right technique. You know, if you sit there and say, oh, Lord, help me, or Lord, you own a cattle on a thousand hill, give me something, and you pray that first and you don't pray in adoration, whoa, you know, there we go, it's a bit dodgy. No, we're in a relationship. And in a relationship, sometimes a heart cry to God in that moment, in that inspired moment, is okay. But the problem is, if you build your prayer life on those moments, that you keep saying to God, I need this, help me, and that's all you pray, then where's the love, where's the passion coming from? Where's the opportunity for it to grow in a changing, maturing relationship with God? There are moments where God, we're going to be praying and God answers, and it's all part of that life, Christian life that we have. But it's not the cornerstone that we build it on. Because that's what Jesus says. Our Father, who is in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're going to be looking and talking about developing those private prayer times as we go through the day. And I'm grateful next week that my friend Graham Holiday is going to come and speak with us. I'm going to open up and talk about what it means to have that ongoing, daily, moment-by-moment relationship with God. But you don't have to wait until next week to do that. Because Jesus says, when you pray, close the door, find somewhere private. And sometimes if we just want to pray and we don't know the words, and maybe prayer has been boring for you and it's a bit of an effort, then just stand there and meditate. Our Father who is in heaven, my Father. Let it repeat over in your mind. Repeat it in your heart, and then just begin to dwell on that. My Father who is in heaven, my Dad, my Father. And if the worst thing you walk away with after being distracted or anything else is just the sense of my Father, and that's soaked into your heart, well, God bless you. Because that will stir something very deep within. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you this morning that we can call you Father. We thank you that because of what Jesus has done and the doorway is open, that we can be identified as children of God, belonging to you, wrapped up in you, held by you, loved by you, forgiven by you. I pray, Lord, this morning that whatever barriers are in our hearts or in our minds, Holy Spirit, would you not only stir that passion to be in relationship with you, but may we see the Father's heart. May we know Father God. Lord, if our pasts are a bind, Lord, may we be released this morning. Lord, where there are hurts from poor father figures, may you saturate our hearts and our minds with a good sense of what a father is from your heart. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and spend some time responding.